And Jonathan, I'm going to ask you to talk about item number four because John has elected you to talk about the hot topics, if that's okay.
Okay,
thank you.
Eduardo is here.
I'm here, but
Eduardo?
You can start. You can start and we will pick it up, okay? No, you can
no,
stay there.
No.
Stay there.
Welcome, everybody. This is our first face-to-face. There is a deviation from our normal meetings. We're not going to have our little educational snippets, which our wonderful chair for the Education Committee, Alfredo, is responsible for, but perhaps we can jointly do this meeting. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to our face-to-face meeting in the place where we found our home. It's been 10-plus months, years, I should say, in a couple of months. It's almost 11 years, and we had a wonderful celebration. And we, as I was told by David behind me, that I'm a walking advertisement for NASIG. So I definitely want to squeeze into this agenda the wonderful efforts that we did with NASIG. So I'd like to start off with roll call and then some introductions, if I may. Okay, Evan?
Sorry, Gisela, for the transcript, if I may. We're not going to do an actual roll call here. If you would like to do a round robin of the table, you're more than welcome to. We will be sending a sheet around, a sign-up sheet for everyone to sign. Thank you. And it will be put on record.
Okay, if we may stay, start with Chris.
My name is Chris Mondini. I am ICANN Vice President for Stakeholder Engagement in North America.
Louis, would you like to introduce yourself?
My name is Louis Hull, honorary president of ISOC Quebec and substitute delegate today for my president, Destiny Tetchwelly, who is not with us.
Hello, my name is Shiloh Healy, and I'm one of the global Indigenous ambassadors for the GIA program. And I'm from Canada.
My name is Jeffrey Blackwell. I am the chairman of the board of Native Public Media.
Matthew Rantanen, former chairman, Native Public Media, current treasurer, ALS.
Joe Catapano, Global Stakeholder Engagement, North America, ICANN.
Hi, I'm Susanna Gray, chair of the San Francisco Bay Area Internet Society chapter, and we are an ALS.
John LaPrise, Naralo ALAC representative.
Eduardo Diaz, chair of Naralo.
Clay McKnight, secretariat.
Gisela Gruber, at-large staff.
Evin Erdodu, at-large staff.
Hishim Nazlar, at-large staff.
Greg Shatton, Board of Directors of the ISOC chapter in New York, and also the alternate Naralo representative from the chapter, even though I look exactly like Jolie McPhee. We are not the same person.
Alfredo Calderon, a member of the ISOC Puerto Rico chapter, a member of the board, and which is also an ALS.
I'm Sarah Engel. I'm a NextGen and the leader of the Youth IGF in Canada.
Jonathan Zook from the Innovators Network Foundation, individual member of NRALA.
Thomas Stewart, individual member of NRALA.
Hello, Danielle Thompson, and I am a North American fellow.
Hi, David Marar, North American fellow and part of a potentially, hopefully, new ALS called NAGS, North American Graduate Students.
Hi, my name is Gabriel Jimenez. I'm from Puerto Rico and also a NextGen from ICANN.
Hi, Waleed El Mershidi, North American fellow.
Hi, my name is Anna Loop. I'm NextGen fellow, or I'm just a NextGener, and I'm also part of the formation of NAGS.
I'm Jose Guillermo Conde, professor, University of Puerto Rico Medical Sciences Campus.
John Moore from DC chapter of ISOC in ALS in NRALA. Christopher Wilkinson, Uralo.
Hi, my name is Lauren Burkhardt. I'm also a North American fellow.
Walter Arroyo from ISOC, Puerto Rico.
Haley Lepp, NextGen.
Denise Hochbaum, North America, D.C., Washington, D.C.
Warren Hochbaum, better known as her husband, also newcomer, Washington.
I just want to mention that some of the new gen and fellows here which participated in the North American School of Internet Governance. Who was there here? So thank you for participating.
Eduardo.
Since Eduardo has mentioned it. Sorry.
Hey, and I'm hiding behind you. Ron De Silva, ICANN board. But I think technically my hat for this would be ISOC DC.
We got it. We got everyone? Okay. Judith, go ahead. I don't think you need.
Hi, I'm Judith Hellestein with Capital Area Globetrotters. And so glad to see everyone here and great that we have a lot of great people, new great people. I was informed with leadership.
Great.
Hi. Yuvelkis Montalvo. I'm from Puerto Rico as well. And I'm at large in Naralo. Yeah.
Okay, thank you everybody for the introductions. But before I get to our topics, our chair mentioned our NASIG, and it's not on the agenda here, but I'm going to deviate a bit, and I'll ask people if there's anything else you want to add into the agenda. We're more than flexible to, if we run out of time, to add a few things. And I do want Chris to talk about, and John and I were there, and Javier, about the North American stakeholder meeting we had today as well. But can you talk a little bit about the NASIG?
Yes, the NASIG stands for North American School of Internet Governance. Matthew, you were there too. Sorry, I didn't mention you. Some of you were there. And Judith was there, and all of you, okay? And this is the first North American School of Internet Governance, as far as we know. But in any case, it was a three-day in-depth presentations, or many presentations, very good presentations about what internet, the ecosystem was all about, internet governance, some internet governance issues. And at the end, we spent some time on engaging, how you could engage in ICANN, ISOC, and all these other conversations. So, I mean, this organization. So I think we have a very good 3 days. We were there for 8 hours, but then we go out and have some fun too. So thank you all for doing it. The next school is going to be next year in Montreal by this fellow here. He's coordinating that. Thank you.
I'm going to be there.
Be there or be square. Okay, we're going to get into some nuts and bolts here. Matthew and Jeffrey have to go to another meeting, so I'm going to jump you guys up to the first item, and welcome to the meeting, and go ahead.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, could you move us down until our other Global Indigenous Ambassador arrives? She was at a separate meeting.
Okay, that's fine. We're moving up and down. Okay, I'm going to talk about the first item, the crop trips. Just as for benefits, this is a program that was a pilot project, and it dropped the second P. Now it's only one P, and it's one of the items that were reviewed in on the chopping block in terms of being removal. But for this year, this fiscal period, we have two crop trips still available. And the one is digital inclusion, which will be an outreach in Cleveland. And I talked to Shelley Robinson, who's one of our ALSs from National Capital Freenet. She'll be attending as well. And so that is scheduled in April. And again, that's a little bit into the Midwest area, which we don't really have a lot of representation except John's group out of Chicago. The last one is RightsCon, and Chris attended RightsCon, and I believe Susanna, you did it in San Francisco as well last year. Oh, you didn't go to RightsCon last year? Okay, so RightsCon is a phenomenal event, and it's going to be in Toronto this year, and it'll be held in May. Oh, yes, Judith.
It's Judith Hellestein for the record, and it's also the Global Indigenous Ambassador Program is one of the speakers at the program, and so we're going to be represented by, you know, Shiloh, myself, hopefully Sarah Kaiden. So we're one of the of 800 panel. One of the there was 800 people chose submitted things, and we were one of those 800 chosen. Less than 800, so about out of 200.
Great, thank you. Any questions on the crop program? It's a little anticlimactic because it's a program that is going by the wayside, but it has been a major effort of us for outreach and engagement, and we are allowed, each RALO at large structures are allowed 5 trips, so we tried to keep, we keep them within region, and we identified areas that are underrepresented.
So just a comment. Maybe you could explain what the acronyms mean, as we have a lot of new people here. Just for everybody, that if we could explain.
Judith and I are both crop RTs. I'll let Judith explain it.
CROP, now only one P, stands for Community Regional Outreach Program. The earlier second P was pilot.
Okay, thank you so much. The second tool we have for outreach and engagement is some discretionary funding, and that funding was roughly $2,000, and we used it different ways, including partnering with Aaron in Puerto Rico this fiscal period. We also, Susanna was at the Aaron meeting in San Jose, and we did a pre-readout in Ottawa to reach out to Canadians, particularly a pre-ICANN event that we did in Ottawa this year. But if all goes well, that discretionary fund will be increased to $4,000, which we'll be looking at how we can work with that fund for local travel. So we may, you know, if you're doing something in your own town that can outreach for ICANN and Norello, this is an opportunity, and it's small amount of funds, but it makes a difference in terms of you getting to the location or lunch or parking, whatever. Okay, I'm going to close that item, and I'm going to turn to Matthew and Jeffrey.
So I'm just going to, pardon my voice, too much rum. So the Global Indigenous Program is one that we started from Native Public Media several years back, and it started as a tribal program. So we're very excited to see it evolve into what it has become today. And I'll let Jeff specifically talk about that. But today I'm very excited to also share with you the North American fellows that are, you know, have announced their names and have been very active in this ICANN. And I must say, very much more prepared than I ever was at any ICANN that I've been to. They've been engaging, asking questions, involved with North American leaders, board members, and it's been very impressive. So the fellowship program is running strong. I know we're looking at some changes to that based on budget, but we're going to leave a little bit early today to craft a statement to be speaking about that. So just congratulations to the North American fellows and the work that they're doing.
So I'm honored this time to attend my now second ICANN meeting. My first was in Abu Dhabi, and it was quite an experience. I was not new to internet governance, so I felt like I could hit the ground running pretty quickly. The Global Indigenous Ambassador Program is one that is very important to Native Public Media. I believe it is, of course, very important to ALAC as well, and, of course, to Norallo, because it has its genesis in our region. The two ladies that are... So, I should say also, my attendance at Abu Dhabi was as the first class of the Global Indigenous Ambassadorship. It was an amazing backstage pass to almost everything that is going on at ICANN, and I took full advantage of it. And like our other fellows from North America, the two new Global Indigenous Ambassadors have done so as well. Very honored to introduce you to Shiloh Healy, who is Blackfoot from Northern Alberta, Canada. Southern Alberta, Canada. It's all north of where I live. But Lillian, who has taught me a great deal about her community, the Wayuu people. Wayuu people of Colombia. And I think it's very important to have an opportunity to hear from these ladies directly as well.
Hello, my name is Shiloh Healy again. I just want to say thank you very much to ICANN, At Large Norello, for giving me this opportunity. Within Canada, and especially within my communities in Alberta, this ICANN world is very new. So the opportunity for the education that you've provided has really helped me to bring something home so that I can help you guys with community engagement and kind of outreach into the other First Nations communities within my province. So thank you.
My apologies, I don't speak English so much. Si alguien puede traducir lo que digo, Alfredo, gracias. Bueno, my name is Lilian Ivette de Luque Brujes. I am from Colombia. I am an indigenous Wayuu. Somos el pueblo más grande de Colombia, 300,000 personas aproximadamente.
She comes from the Wa
300,000 indigenous
from the tribe. What's the region of the tribe?
Wayuu.
Wayuu. Yeah. Gracias.
We speak Wayunaiki and Shihia. Bien, welcome. Para mí esta oportunidad es muy importante. Es como un sueño hecho realidad.
It's a great opportunity. It's like a dream come true.
Porque estamos, para nosotros la tecnología ha sido una bendición. Para los indígenas la tecnología es una puerta que se ha abierto al mundo.
Technology for her and her people have been a blessing, although it offers great opportunities for them to enhance and get involved in their community with technology.
Y la idea pues es aprender. Estoy aprendiendo acá mucho. En estos momentos soy parte de LACRALO. Soy la representante de una ALS de Colombia en LACRALO.
She's a member of ALS in Latin America, and she is getting involved in all the issues that are being discussed in ICANN.
Y para terminar, como dije en la pasada reunión de ALAC, una de las principales motivaciones de mi estadía aquí es en parte dar gracias porque todo ese trabajo que ICANN hace, que se refleja en la internet, nos ayudó a los indígenas, nos está ayudando a salvar las vidas de los indígenas que se están muriendo de hambre, específicamente los niños de 0 a 5 años.
For her, it was important to come to this meeting to thank ICANN for helping her community out in reaching out to every individual in her area, especially to help out those that are between 0 and 5 years old to survive in their area communities.
Por lo general se están muriendo un niño por cada semana.
One individual is dying per week.
Y, excuse me, it's very sensitive the time for me. Gracias a el internet, a las redes sociales, a los correos electrónicos, a las páginas web, fue que por fin Colombia y el mundo se dieron cuenta de lo que estaba pasando.
Yes, and thanks to the internet, the social media, and all the tools that, in a way, I can help out for them to have them available, they've been able to save all those childs that have been had died before. And she mentioned that it was one child per week that was dying. Now it's getting less.
Entonces es. Estamos en ese proceso. Actualmente tenemos unas medidas cautelares de la Comisión Interamericana de Derechos Humanos que no, el gobierno no las quiere cumplir, pero ahí seguimos usando el internet para seguir denunciando, para seguir salvando vidas, y aquí estoy para seguir aprendiendo y seguir ayudando a mi comunidad.
to finalize, she mentions that there's some political issues in her country, but she's still engaged in overcoming those issues to help out within her community.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to, I want to be respectful of your timing. I just wanted to say that at Native Public Media, we are aware that, you know, that the Global Indigenous Ambassador Program needs to continue to grow and develop. We're going to be having a board retreat here, I've called, in the next 3 weeks. And one of the things that we're going to discuss is how Native Public Media as an ALS becomes more involved in ICANN and how we can continue to support the GIA program. So I want to say thank you to Judith for proposing the panel at RightsCon. Thank you to Shiloh for representing the program at RightsCon. It makes natural sense, Canadian lady at a Canadian meeting. So thank you very much for the opportunity to present.
So thank you so much for the information. The next item that we have here is an item that we have been talking about here in Narraro. It has to do with the program coordinator for the crop program, and really this has been put in a dormant state on the AILAC decides what is going to happen with this program. So that's all we have to say about this. So the next item has to do with the Narraro Hot Topics, and this is the Hot Topics is something for those that participated in the General Assembly last year in New Orleans. We did a little workshop, but we came up with about five hot topics, and you know, since I started as a chair, I started struggling thinking about these hot topics. You know, cybersecurity, privacy. I don't know, net neutrality wasn't there. There were five of them, but it wasn't. Do you have the list?
So the topics, John LaPriest for the record. So the topics that came up at the Narraro General Assembly were privacy, trust, surveillance, net neutrality, digital literacy, universal internet access, and cybersecurity. Now, bear in mind, not all of those are within ICANN's scope, but that's what came out of the General Assembly.
Right. So I did put a lot of thought about this, and I brought the issue on the – we have a meeting with all the other Rallos, and I think this issue about hot topics, we're getting it confused in one way, because if we look down the our regional organizations and we talk about what's important for us there, things like net neutrality, I'm talking about North American, from a North American perspective, things like net neutrality is a big issue. But when you look back and look at ICANN and say, well, you know, really, that doesn't have to do anything with ICANN. That's an issue within the United States and doesn't have to do with ICANN. So I'm trying to do a little bit of an experiment here. So I created three groups. One's a policy group, which it's led by John, but John's commitments will not allow him to lead it, but he can help in the background. And I talked to Jonathan Salk to lead that policy group, which he's doing with the ALAC too. And the idea there is that this group, we're going to look in the region at that group to tell us what is ICANN doing that is hot policy-wise, that is being current, not something that happened already, something that is current, or that is going to happen in the future, and bring those things back into the region. And if we need to understand in the region what is it the issue about, then we have another group, which is being led by Alfredo, which is going to get experts on that issue. And in 15 minutes, will try to explain it to us in a monthly meeting. And then we have another 15 minutes to discuss it, and if we don't understand it, then we do it the next time. And the idea is that people need to understand what these issues are, and maybe from three, we may want to use one and dedicate ourselves to understand that. And the idea is that what I want the region to do is to, you know, once we know this is happening in ICANN, we need to find out how those policies or things that are going to happen affects us as end users. And then if we can formulate and understand it and understand that it will affect end users, then we can come back and say, hey, guys, in our region, this thing, you know, we should do it this or be careful with that. And we send this statement to ALAC to go out and do, you know, whatever the ALAC does in doing the advisory. Because, you know, if we look at the other way, yes, the region has many issues, but sometimes we get so involved with something that doesn't have to do anything with ICANN. And then we missed, you know, when these policies come through, they come stems, people don't know what's happening. So I also have a final group here because we need to get people coming and participate with us. And Glenn is a great guy for outreach, you know. So he's leading an outreach group within the RALOS and this experiment that I'm doing, let's see if it works. I don't know if it will work, but, you know, time will tell. So knowing this, I want to know if you have any questions or ideas or anything you want to comment. I don't know. I got the cue, but I'm not sure. Are you with? Okay, Alfredo.
Yes, Alfredo Calderon, for the record. I want to make a short comment. Eduardo is correct in the focus that each working group has, but there's some overlapping, and it's on purpose. So when I went through my charter as the education work group, there's basically three questions that we need to have some answer. First, what is the policy in lame terms so that anybody can understand what is the issue? Keeping in mind that we are not all experts in the policy that is being discussed, so we want to understand what is the policy about. Then we want to understand if it affects the end user, the at-large community, which is ourselves. And third, if we as a group, as a RALO, actually should write a comment on that issue, because probably it doesn't concern our region, but it does concern ICANN as the organization. So we just want to make, I just wanted to reiterate those three points. What is the issue? Who's affected? The end user, of course. And if actually if we do need to write a comment regarding that issue. Thank you.
John, please.
John LaPrise, for the record. I completely endorse everything Alfredo just said, and I want to go on and say and talk to everyone in the room from Neuralo, and just as one of the ALAC representatives, if you have an issue, you know, I encourage you to get involved in the working groups, but by all means, message me or the other ALAC reps so that we can bring it up to the wider community. I'm contactable online and social media. I'm actually the ALAC social media chair. So get in touch with me or one of the other ALAC reps and let us know what you're thinking, because we represent you and we want to do it well. Thank you.
Thank you, John. And then I have a question for... Oh, okay. Go ahead, John.
Sorry, I chose today to forget to bring my name tag with me, but I'm Jonathan Zook. I think Alfredo's onto something in terms of having a kind of funnel for issues. And I think the first question is whether or not the question has anything to do with ICANN's remit. That's sort of the big end of the funnel. And if it doesn't, then we need to just stop talking about it. I mean, or have a special interest group that wants to talk about it, but, I mean, take it out of the central channel of the organization. And then from there, look at the impact on end users in particular. And I think in many instances, there will be parts of issues that are of particular interest to end users and not the entire issue. I think to be effective as at large in the overall context of policy development within ICANN, the key will really be to come with a specific voice and to only speak to those things where that voice is relevant, as opposed to saying me too on a bunch of other things that are being discussed by everyone else. Bring a specific perspective, a specific idea, et cetera, to that. So the KSK rollover, for example, I mean, the biggest issue there is how to get word out, right? And maybe that's the kind of thing that we'd be given the size here in terms of building a little utility that people can run on their PC to figure out how they're, what the resolver is using, for example, and then getting data back on a voluntary basis so that there's some sort of report, because these top-down analyses are really problematic. You know, I mean, there might be something, I'm totally spitballing because I'm trying to come up with a better solution than I had yesterday, which is a benevolent virus. But I think that something like that, where we're specifically taking an end-user perspective either to our analysis of the problem or our suggestions for possible solutions, and really be narrow, laser-focused in the comments that we make and the participation that we do in working groups, and try to maintain that voice, I think is what will really make ALAC the most effective organization within ICANN.
Alan, please.
And I now have an identity again. Thank you.
Thank you. Alan Greenberg. I want to follow up with what Jonathan said. This is a pretty diverse group. I mean, this room, the ALAC group, often we have interests in an area which is not necessarily really affecting the users. And we strongly encourage people to participate in the processes, and you are not constrained to only participate in one that has direct user involvement, or only speak when there's direct user involvement. It becomes a different question when we say, are we going to make a statement on behalf of ALAC? So we've gotten moderately good over the last couple of years of differentiating between something that is of personal interest, or personal knowledge for that matter, and something which is truly an ALAC concern. So the classic example, which may not be applicable to Neuralo, is there's lots of public comments on IDN script issues. And we may well have someone who is an expert on Arabic script and even expert on IDN issues, and they may have a comment, but it's not necessarily something the ALAC is going to make. We have no credibility as a group saying we feel strongly about this and it's of great interest. Now, if that individual wants to make a case why it is of so crucial that we want to speak on behalf of all end users who use that script, that's fine, but that's rare. But it becomes really important to look at it from the reverse angle of when there is an issue that will affect users, we really need to make sure it's covered, and that, you know, if we have something salient to say, we say it. I'm a strong supporter of saying don't bother saying anything if you're not going to really contribute to the discussion. But if we have something to say, we do have an obligation. That's why we are here.
Yep, thanks. And I guess I'd only clarify, I'm not trying to keep any individual from doing anything they want to do. The question is, when do we churn the waters inside of Neuralo and ALAC, right? When do we gin up this organization to get its act together to develop a consensus position? And that should be something that's made it through the filters. So I think we're saying the same thing. Obviously, if you have an expertise, go be on a work group, et cetera. But the key is, when we're speaking for ALAC and we're trying to represent ALAC as a force within ICANN, let's be as surgical as possible.
Glenn, please.
For the benefit of the new people in the room, we did a survey of all our ALS members, and based on the policy topics that ICANN identified, and some of them are not applicable anymore because of history, but we had 163 identified experts that we can draw upon to comment. The question is, with the education committee and the outreach stuff, is get those people committed to doing comments. Neuralo has been probably one of the most active, especially because of Alan, in really giving very, very solid, good policy comments. And we want to nurture that and develop that skill set beyond just Alan.
Greg.
Thank you. Greg Shatton, for the record. I didn't have a name card, so I made my own. While I'm relatively new to at large, I've been participating in ICANN working groups since 2007, so I've got some experience on the policy side, and I hope to contribute that within this organization as well. So a couple of additional points, just as I'm thinking about this, is I think it's important for when we are contributing to policy in the supporting organizations, is to be visible. I don't mean visible in the sense of making a lot of unnecessary comments, but I mean visible in terms of showing up. Half of life is showing up. and you get respect from the other people in the groups by showing up and pitching in on whatever little project or big project the group has to do, doing some drafting of something, gradually developing individual and group credibility. Also helps a lot to be diverse, by which I first mean just having a lot of different people who are regularly showing up in different policy positions. There are certain people, Alan for one, who are almost put on working group lists without even their knowledge because they know he's going to be there. So, but there, beyond that, there is not a huge, huge group. So the more that we can put more people out there and be seen as a visible participant from our point of view, and to go to John's point, Jonathan's point, we need to make our point of view well heard, well known. I was in a meeting yesterday where Alan did an excellent and succinct job of doing it in a place where it looked like he was being solicited to take on a role that really was not the role anyone in this room should take as part of this group. So I think it's stick-to-itiveness, relentlessness, precision, and people just working at it over time, because there is no ceiling to what this group can contribute other than the ability of people here to contribute. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments, Alan?
Thank you. I must add something to that. You're listening to someone, both of us, who are somewhat addicted to this. We also, for probably completely different reasons, are willing to put a very large amount of time into this. Most people don't have that luxury. Most people work for employers who actually expect them to be doing their job during the day and have families who actually expect them to be around in the evening, and sometimes a spouse who doesn't really enjoy you getting up at 3:30 in the morning to be on a 4 o'clock conference call. So there's some of us who are weird, and we're not trying to put everyone in that model. But if you find an issue that ICANN is looking at that's of interest to you, then see how you can participate. Sometimes it fits, sometimes it doesn't. But unless you start trying and actually getting involved, you never quite make it into the inner circle. You probably don't want to be as crazy as Greg and I. But you may enjoy it. Well, who knows? But it's really important to make that first step and try to find something that's of some interest, that resonates with you, and perhaps you can contribute to it. It's interesting. A lot of what we do is really specialized, and it takes a long time to understand all of the details. On the other hand, very often you can pick up enough that, if you're smart, you don't talk a lot in your first bunch of meetings. You just listen and find out what's going on. And then maybe you can start making a contribution. And it's amazing how, I think there's an expression in English of out of the mouths of babes. Even though you may not be the most experienced person there, you may have something to contribute. And, if everyone starts snoring when you talk, then perhaps you have to take a message from that. But it can be fun.
Thank you, Alan Greg.
Just briefly, I think it's important to understand that by participating some, you don't get to you don't have to lose your life into ICANN land. It's best actually to pick your spots, pick an issue, get to know about that issue, even get to know about one piece of a larger issue. If you're in a committee that's covering a whole bunch of things and a working group that's covering a bunch of things, try to understand generally what's going on, but pick one little thing and go a little bit deeper, because, dirty little secret, a lot of people in working groups don't go very deep into anything at all and rely a lot on recollection and sense, which sometimes is not common sense. So if you're a little bit diligent in one place, in one working group, don't join. I'm in 4 working groups and probably 19 work tracks. Don't do that. Pick one. Resist temptation to be in too many. Take a little break if it ends. Don't go crazy. But if you get a little bit of a reputation, a good reputation, in one working group, and you know, contribute when you can. That's you'll be in the top third before you even know it, and that's the way to contribute. Or you can join ICANN Anonymous with Alan and I.
Yeah, okay, thank you. So you heard all that. That was for you guys, you know. But it's a very good advice for people, you know, that have been here for a long time. Okay. So
the important thing is not to be thought of as a nag, though. I'm just saying it's a.
Yeah, I know. So to wrap up this, I just wanted to tell you, you know, this is an experiment that we want to pinpoint something that we can really understand and then work on it. So because if like he said, if you get involved with all this kind of stuff, there is some bandwidth you can give to ICANN. I mean, we have personal lives too. So next.
These gentlemen are leaving, but we also have two.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. I know you have to get to another meeting. Thank you again for attending. We have a couple of other guests. Adam, would you like to come to the mic, as well as our gentleman from Industry Canada?
Good afternoon, everyone. Adam Peake from ICANN Stakeholder Engagement, who has lost his voice. So I don't think I should say very much because it's weird. That was the word. I can't pronounce some letters, so I better stop. Thank you.
Sorry, repeat that. I didn't hear it. Alfredo, the gentleman beside you.
Hi, my name is Taylor Bentley. It's actually not Industry Canada anymore. It's Innovation, Science, and Economic Development Canada. So I've been supporting Canada's representation to the GAC for the last 5 years, and this is my first meeting. I just came back from parental leave where I got to spend lots of time meeting a lot of the folks in the community, so I thought it was incumbent on me to visit you guys while you're meeting in person. We attended the ICANN readout, where we were happy to participate in the ICANN readout in advance. We do our own broad stakeholder engagement in advance of these meetings. So the more Canadians we meet, the more Canadians we can invite to our ICANN stakeholder engagement meetings. And this is during GAC communique drafting, so you can gauge how much I care that way. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. Chris, I'm going to lean on you now to talk about the meeting that was today and the history on it and what was achieved.
Hi, it's Chris Mondini. Just briefly, we're in the midst of a region-wide but structured consultation with across the various SOAC structures about North American stakeholder engagement activities, particularly those that are supported by the ICANN organization. So I encouraged the SOAC leaders to pick two delegates from their particular constituency, if it's within the GNSO, but we also have had SAC and GAC and RSAC and registries and registrars to get really a little bit of learning and a small enough group that there could be dialogue on three specific questions. And one has been the topic of the last bit of the conversation, is about encouraging more active participation, more active involvement. The definition of engagement is involvement of those people affected by your decisions in the decision-making, but then you have to define what is involvement. And some of the examples that you've been discussing, submitting public comments, being active in a working group, being active on a review team, these are the things that if ICANN is to be evaluated by the efficiency and the frequency with which it's able to put out useful policy or DNS guidance, these are all things that we are beginning to focus on. So question one is about sort of converting people who are now knowledgeable into being more active and at large, and certainly Naralo has taken a big lead in measuring those things and contributing. The second question is about seeking geographic diversity across the North America region. We have a few pockets of active stakeholders, and as we've heard, there are many interested and affected stakeholders who may not be aware or involved in ICANN, and we want to find out how to do that. And that leads to the third very specific question, which is enhancing the experience of those who participate remotely. And we're actually getting a lot of really good ideas about that as well. So I wanted to, again, seek very balanced feedback from across the ICANN structures and be very respectful of people's time. So there, people were invited to participate really in three ways. Fill out a survey. It was a five-question survey. Or come to a webinar. Or come to a lunch, which we had this afternoon. And we'll have one more webinar, but we're going to do an assimilation of all the input that we've received so far on the answers to these questions and encourage a little bit broader input on that so that the next iteration of the North American Stakeholder Engagement Strategy from the ICANN organization perspective is well-informed and has some accountability metrics that you can help guide us in fulfilling. So thanks, Eduardo and others who were really inspirational, and Judith and Glenn, and others who have been pushing for this for a long time. I was really heartened to see how, even some of your fellow stakeholders who thought, oh, gosh, engagement isn't really that important to me or my part of ICANN, actually were stimulated to think about how it actually does benefit their own piece of ICANN, but also the way ICANN works generally. So thanks.
Just a question for you, Chris. Will we have a meeting scheduled in Panama on the next ICANN meeting face-to-face?
So the last strategy, the one that you may remember we discussed with At Large, or Neuralo in New Orleans, was published last March-April timeframe. And so the next one we're trying to publish by March-April timeframe. So I think it will be complete. I promised also all the people that participated that it would be a 90-day process of, no more than 3 hours of your time within a 90-day timeframe. So we can certainly can invite feedback or a reading out on that, but there isn't any more work to be done. By the time Panama happens, you will have seen the output of the process already.
Thank you. Any questions for Chris on the meeting today or the process? Okay.
Thank you, Glenn. The other two items in the agenda has to do with the individual members. You don't have to be an at-large structure. You can be a single person that wanted to participate in our meeting, so you're welcome. You just need to send an email to staff saying that you want to be part of Neuralo, and we put you in the mailing list and invite you to the monthly meetings. And, if you get addicted to this, you might end up where Alan is. So he's an individual member, and he is leading the ALAC. And Javier also is an individual member, and he's in ALAC. So you have the opportunity, being an ALS or an individual member, to participate. So, the doors are open, and it's as much time as you put in and as much interest that you put in is there. So I invite you, all of you, to become part of the Neuralo, being in as an ALS or an individual member. The thing is, these two items that we have here are more procedural in the sense that individual members when you look at all the regions are treated different. Some of these groups of individual members, they have one vote. Like in Neuralo, so if we have 40, for example, I think we have 29. They get together and they get one representative that will have a vote, during the elections, that we vote for the elections. And you don't get to vote, all of you. You select one person to vote. There are other regions that they don't do that. And there is one region that still do not accept individual members, and I think they're Lacralo, which is not. They're still talking about how to integrate them into their ranks. So those two issues have to do with that. And now we, all the Ralos, are looking as to, how we certificate members and basically, you know, procedural things that we can do offline. So I don't really want to bring them here because, you know, it's for can do this later. So what I want to do is, Glenn, to talk about all the outreach things that you are planning to do or you're doing now.
Sure. Thank you. Let's go through. I don't have any graphics here, but one of the big tools we had for outreach, as we mentioned earlier, was the five crop trips, and we had to do a strategic plan for our crop every year, and we identified areas by a SWOT analysis, areas that were underrepresented, that is rural America, Midwest, First Nations, and especially groups with special needs. But over the years, some of the groups have been active, some of them have not been active, and so we've lost a couple very important groups because they have other priorities in the special needs disabled community. One is ISOC Special Needs. They have become a non-functional organization. But I have to point this out. Just because your organization has left the fold with Norello, that individual may still continue to be interested. And so we've had individuals that have gone from organizations, such as Robert Guerrero, for example. He's an unaffiliated member, and he's one of the people right from the beginning in the signing ceremony. We had a wonderful little happy birthday party yesterday on our 10-plus celebration, and Robert managed to reach it as well. John Levine, and another example of a person who's been around a long time, and Eduardo was one of the original signatories. So in terms of outreach, one of the cost-effective ways we were doing it was doing a ICANN meeting, which we did in Ottawa recently. We had 72 people attend. We had Stephanie Perrin talking about GDPR. We had Marita Moll of Telecommunities Canada. We worked with CIRA to do the presentation, and we streamed it as well. So it was very, very topical. We'll be doing more of those as well, and we reach out. And I want to ask Susanna and Judith, because they did post ICANN meetings. Judith, did you want to talk about your New York event?
It's Judith Helsing for the record. I was at the event, and it was a very successful event. And actually, from it led to getting some new blood into. From what I understand, Greg Shatton joined, got very active in the ISOC New York because of that meeting. We had a very lively crowd there. And I had bought postcards, and we got a lot of. ISOC New York is starting doing a lot of collaborations with Columbia University School of Public Affairs, and so we had a lot of students there, and so they got their first introduction to ICANN, and I think the sessions went very well. We had some good questions, and then we had. We had some other things later on, and so I think they're continuing doing stuff with SEPA, and maybe Greg can talk about some of the stuff that ISOC in New York doing on the outreach.
Thank you, Judith. Greg Shatton again for the record. I was literally dragged out of the audience to talk about the accountability cross-community working group at the New York event. So I was, you know, happy to contribute, and right now, I'm a new member of the board of ISOC New York, and we are doing, you know, quite a bit of outreach. Shuli Halleck, our executive director, organized two panels on digital preservation, one in Washington, D.C. So NY went to D.C. and had a policy-oriented panel, and we had one in New York. Google very kindly lent us their facility. And we discussed more from kind of the economic, cultural, and sort of, it was pretty far ranging. We had Vint Cerf there. We had one of the top VCs, venture capitalists in New York, as well as someone from the Columbia University library system. So we had a wide variety. We are trying to do a lot of liaising with other organizations, NYC Mesh for Mesh Networks. We have kind of formal liaisons with Columbia and New York University. Trying to get kind of more events going. You know, Jolie is ubiquitous in live streaming and other such things, and we need to capitalize on the energy that we have. Several new board members, I think it's going to be an exciting year in New York.
Thank you, Greg. Yes, and one second. I'm going to get to you because I know you did an outreach with Aaron. I have you on the list. But, Susanna, can you talk about your event that was a post-ICANN event with ISOC?
This is Susanna Gray for the record. We've done two post-ICANN readout events with Joe and Chris. We do them as webinars because that's easier for us to organize. We have about 20, 30 people show up, and Chris and Joe give a really good overview of the policy discussions that happened. Depending on who from our chapters attended the meeting, we'll also give an update. For example, Leah, who is our former president, is now part of the NOMCOM, so she was giving, she's given an update about the NOMCOM. I was a fellow at the last ICANN meeting, so I gave an update about the fellowship program. And we're hoping to do another one after ICANN 61, if these two guys will help us out.
Yeah. Thank you. There's two other outreach things I want to draw upon. Is I'll go turn, because I'll talk to you. Can you report on the Aaron meeting you were at and the outreach?
Yes, of course. I'm Yubelkis Montalvo for the record. And I was able, with the support of course, of Glenn, to participate at the Aaron meeting in San Jose, California. And there we were able to outreach three different peoples. One of them was able to participate as the result of this invitation to participate of the NASDIC school. His name is Adrian Smith. He's from Canada. Also, he speaks Spanish because he's from Argentina. So that's why we get along very well, since I'm, of course, I speak Spanish as well. And I want to invite you, not only you, to get involved, but also invite others, because this is a beneficial and very interesting experience, not only for you to learn, but also to share with others, and maybe others can collaborate as well. Thank you.
Yeah, just quickly to add to that, this is Susanna Gray for the record. The San Francisco Bay Area ISOC chapter also attended the Aaron meeting because it was a local meeting for us, the Aaron meeting in San Jose. And we applied for discretionary funding, I think the name is, to help some of the board members with transport costs and parking costs. So that's also something that you can talk with with Eduardo and Glenn, if you need funds to go to a local meeting.
Thank you. There was three from your chapter, the ISOC chapter. Four, okay. I want to bring up two other things. And John, I'm going to call on you in a second. I'm just giving you a heads up on talk about IGF USA. But if you can come up to the mic, I want to talk a little bit about our outreach effort at IGF Geneva. That was a very major effort that was across the board. Judith was involved with it. Myself, Thomas Strutt was involved, and we had a booth, and many of us did presentations at the IGF. There's a major report on that. Judith, did you want to say anything about the IGF event in Geneva?
It's Judith Halstein for the record. So we had organized we got very lucky in booth placement, and so we were in a very popular location. And so we were able to capitalize on that and got a lot of different people to be interested and learn about At Large and the Rallos. And there's, I think, a lot of good advice to talk to them. We handed out a lot of brochures and chocolate. But I think we also, it's a good place to network, because a lot of the people were not very much aware of what ICANN does, or if they knew about ICANN, they only knew about NCUC, since they had been doing outreach there for years. So I think it was an excellent spot, and hopefully we can do it again and get just as good placement.
Yeah, just for clarification, we stole the chocolate from other booths and brought it.
Glenn, it was an ICANN booth that gave us chocolate, so we didn't really steal the chocolate.
But it said Eurodig on the sticker. Okay, there's one. Sorry, John, I just remembered an outreach on the errand on the road. Did you want to say mention about that? Because you did an outreach.
Yes, last year we brought a coordinated and this is a like a snippet of an arene event. So they came here to Puerto Rico for one day, and they talked about what they do on specifics about what arene is, the numbering system, and we have after the event, which was by the way one of the most attended events that they have had. Ever. So we did a little bit of networking, and right there we got three people that were very interested in becoming ALSs, and after that the hurricane hit, so they're somewhere now.
Susanna, please.
Sorry, one really quick comment. I just wanted to make sure everybody knew what ARIN was. American Registry for Internet Numbers. They manage and distribute IP addresses in North America, Canada, and parts of the Caribbean. Or Caribbean, as you say, in this part of the world.
For those who are new to this process, they have fellowships for each of their meetings, and it's undersubscribed, I believe, right? So many of us have taken advantage of that fellowship program, and they really have very few. So it's Canada, United States, obviously, including Puerto Rico, but their regions are a little bit different than ours, but in this community is eligible. Okay, I'm going to turn to...
Okay, so I'm part of the D.C. chapter of the Internet Society serves as the secretariat, but I would say that the number of folks that are here for the ICANN that are also active in the whole multi-stakeholder process of developing the program for each year's IGF USA is really pretty incredible. And I think it's a good example of where ICANN can ally with other organizations and be involved in the process and actually at the same time provide information about ICANN and what it does for the many people that really don't necessarily understand what it is that ICANN does that is absolutely essential for our ability to do any of the other things we do. So I recommend that people to continue involved. But I think the other thing that the IGF USA is really working towards and is to try to really move from being quite as Washington-centric as it has been. We certainly encourage participation from around the country, and we're discussing various ways of creating nodes in other locations or pre-events. And I think the eventual hope is over the next couple of years to really plan for having the IGF USA in some place other than Washington, D.C.
Great. Any questions on outreach engagement? Okay. Back to you.
Thank you, Glenn, and thank you for everyone for the updates. Leah is very busy with the NOMCOM. She's our representative over there. So she's busy. They're very busy. So... she excused herself for being here. And so the next part is the Narralo elections. We do have elections every year around this time. And this year we're going to start at the end of March, correct me?
End of April,
I'm sorry. There will be a call out there for, he will tell us the positions are available. And they're open to anyone that likes to be nominated. You can nominate yourself. You can get somebody to be nominated. And it will run, the whole process runs for a month. And the people that get selected or elected on those positions that are available will come to Barcelona, and there will be a change of command in these elections. Oh, Glenn is going to tell you the positions.
Okay, so as Eduardo was saying, on April 30th is the opening of the nomination, so you can self-nominate or someone else can nominate you, and there's three positions, secretary, chair, and ALAC rep. May 11th, the nominations close. There's a short period for the roughly 12 days. Then May 18th, this is the new, we're harmonizing our elections to the other RELOs. So this is a brand new timeline. It was not the case before. It was actually a month earlier. We go on from that on May 18th, the deadline for the person who was nominated to accept the nomination. May 19th, we have a special purpose call. It may be a slightly different date than May 19th, but we try to do a call if there's more than one person. It's no reason to have a call if that position only has one person running for that. But if there's multiple people running for that position, we will hold a get-to-know session, and so a chance for the community to post some questions in advance, and we'll have we'll have a poll, a webinar to explain the positions, plus ask questions to those potential candidates. So the election opens on May 21st, and it runs to May 25th, and the results are published on May 26th. So that's a timeline. Again, it's harmonized with the rest.
This is Judith Hallstein for the record. So the question is, according to the schedule, so the nominations close, deadline for nomination acceptance is Friday, May 18th, and you're having the special purpose call on a Saturday, which is not very a good time because it means that any Sabbath observing person is excluded. So I'm just wondering, were you not aware of that it was a Saturday?
I do know the days of the week. Saturday is after Friday and before Sunday, but I wasn't aware that that was a Saturday, but it's a good point. And as I stated, roughly the 19th, it could be a couple of days after, is we assume we'll move it to the Monday or Tuesday, but again, there's some flexibility. Alan?
Thank you. To be clear, this schedule was published for discussion. We will be discussing it because we want to do it the same dates all across all of the regions, and once we get input, and that is good input, we will be deciding on what the final details are.
Alan, just for a thing, Monday the 21st is also a Jewish holiday.
Noted.
Okay, I just want to say that we can change this date. They are not setting, we will take care of this. And those dates, I believe those are the ones that we more or less are in sync with the other RALOs.
We have put on that web page a single set of dates which we believe we will use for all RALOs. It was put out yesterday, 2 days ago, and we will be discussing it and coming up with a firm plan. We do have until the end of April, so we have a few days to make sure that it's reasonable and doesn't have conflicts we can avoid.
Before I get to John, then John, the date, as I stated, is flexible on meet the candidates. So if it's a Saturday, if it's a Sunday, if it's a Jewish holiday, we'll work with it. And thank you, Judith, for letting us know. We want to be as inclusive as possible. It will not clash with one of those dates. So I think, John, you're first.
John LaPrice for the record. Glenn, could you just, for the benefit of people who have not been here before, explain the procedure regarding single or sole candidates for a position? Because I'm not sure that's clear.
Thank you. I rushed out a little bit. Okay, so if, for example, the secretary's position only has one person that says they want to stand for that position, that doesn't require an electoral process. But we do call out to the community if they actually accept that position. Okay, Alan is correcting me.
Various RALOs have used various rules over the years. The current NARALO rules, which we just adopted last summer or sometime, are now fully synchronized with the ALAC rules. If there is a single candidate, that candidate is acclaimed as the winner, period.
Jonathan Melis.
Thanks. Judith, you made me think of some really inappropriate joke that, you know, about Putin and saying that the Jews were messing with North American elections and somehow. Let's see. My question had to do with the fact that there was an overlap with the nominating committee's availability of an ALAC position as well, and I didn't know if there was a formal or informal way of thinking about that. If people should be trying to, spread out their self nominations or anything like that, so they're sort of happening at the same time. I was just curious what that process was.
There's two different issues. A person who is interested in being on the ALAC can submit their name for nomination for selection by the RALO, can also submit to the NOMCOM. This year, the NOMCOM is selecting a North American and a European ALAC member. Both of them, there's no prohibition in doing both in parallel, should you choose. Similar to the board, you can apply through an ACSO to be a board member in parallel with submitting a NOMCOM application, again, should you choose at that appropriate time. The other implication of it, I mean, obviously, I presume if we select you in May, you will probably withdraw your application from the NOMCOM. You're not obliged to, but you probably will. You could let them select you and then reject us, but doesn't really matter. You don't get two seats. The other issue is there is a convention, but not a rule, that we try not to have multiple people from the same country. Now, given that we have three ALAC members and two countries, clearly for Naralo that doesn't apply. In a region with many countries, we try. There's no prohibition against having multiple people from the same country, but we try to have some level of diversity. To enable the NOMCOM to be cognizant of that, we try to do our selection before they do their final selection. Again, some years we have managed not to do that, and life goes on. But we do try, and that's why this timetable is designed that the person is selected prior to the Panama meeting, in this case, where the NOMCOM makes their selections.
So any other questions? Jonathan, you want some? So, thank you. Thank you, man. Okay, so can we have the agenda there again, please? The next item is any other business. Anybody wants has a question? Anything want to bring on? If not, I'm ready to adjourn this meeting. Javier.
Just quickly, Javier Ruajo, for the record, apologies for being late at your service. And I'm so happy there's so many people in the crowd and Canadian institutions. It's great. Anything I can do to help, I'll send you to another person to answer.
In any case, Glenn has an announcement before we close.
Yeah, okay. There's three social/events tonight. One is DNS and Women that will be done. Do we know the room number?
Terrace.
It's here. At the same time, we managed to secure some funds from ISOC for the social at the La Factoria, which is very close to the next event, which Heavy will be at as well, which is the world's famous gems. And there'll be T-shirts being sold as a fundraiser. Do we know the charity that it's being donated to?
Sure. Javier Ruajo, for the record. So gems, I think it's probably the first time it's on the record in ICANN, so I don't know if this is against gems rules because gems doesn't exist. And it's not supposed to exist. GEMS is the Global Equal Multi-Stakeholder Band. And it's been held for I don't know how many years now, but it's a world tour already. We've realized it's a world tour. So tonight you'll see it. There's information in Facebook and there's emails going around. It's in a place called Hermanas Rivera, really close to La Factoria in Old San Juan. And we're going to be selling T-shirts. you know, the Gems por Puerto Rico and Gems World War Tour is really for a charity that, I've been in, you know, it's a bunch of college kids called Mochileando, college kids that go around, you know, from town to town helping, you know, flesh and blood people, you know, fix roofs and just do stuff. You know, and they're gung-ho, they get on, I mean, it's like a safety hazard. They get up on roofs and start banging, you know, nails into and repurposing old wood. And so anything, you know, they, you know, I don't know how much money we're going to raise, but anything, any amount helps. And Gems is really, really fun. So we have a, you know, a set that's really jazzy in the beginning, you know, all stakeholders in the community that are, you know, like Greg, which is a, you know, saxophone player, and well, Greg's actually in the rocking part. But, I mean, so, you know, it's really fun, and go. Bye.
Okay, with that, this meeting is closed. Thank you.
Say that, someone will fill up your tone.
Never mind, we're having a meeting.
Yeah, better, much better.